So if you've got your Bibles, go to Ephesians chapter 5. We are going to be in verses 6 through 21 this morning. Now, I'll give you a little bit of a behind-the-scenes curtain peek at my sermon prepping and how it normally works, because I'm going to be totally honest with you guys this morning, okay? So normally what I do is I like to preach through books. And part of that is because I love expository preaching. I feel like, yes, we could go through some topical things, but the reality is I think nothing is more impactful to your life than God's holy word. And so I find the temptation to go topical is that there's less scripture and less emphasis on what God is teaching you through his word. Instead, there's a lot more emphasis on what I'm teaching you through what I want to talk about, and then finding scripture to support it. And so I love going through books and I love expository preaching because I believe God's word is faithful to do the work in you regularly. And so that's why I love preaching through books, because I believe the books touch on topics that we want to know and learn from. And quite often we find that the Spirit works in a way that one verse may speak to somebody in one way, and then that same verse may speak to somebody else in another. That's what's so amazing about God's living word. That's not to say that there isn't times where we need to talk about things specifically. They absolutely have a place. But for the most part, I love for us to walk through books. So what I do when I prep is I go through and I figure out which sections are independent. Not saying they are devoid of one another, but places that are in one either thought or scene or something that can be preached in one sitting. And I was going through Ephesians, and I realized with this section of Ephesians 5, we could be in it for one Sunday or we could be in it for 10. There's so much in Ephesians 5. So what I felt like we needed to do, and what I felt like I needed to do personally in my own convictions and in praying and reading, is to write it and to study it as if I'm going to preach the whole thing to you one Sunday, but to be faithful to what it says. And if we need to pause and come back later, we will. And so last Sunday, I told you that this was going to be a multi-parter, starting in Ephesians 5, verse 1 through 10. But then we only got halfway through Ephesians 5, 1 through 10. We stopped at verse 5. And so here's what we're going to do. We're going to continue to walk through the rest of this text. We're going to read all the way to verse 21 today. But I can tell you right now, looking at that clock, we're not going to get to verse 21 today, because there's a lot in this text. But the goal is not to rush God's word, because God's word needs to be savored. And so we're going to savor it together this morning. And so last week, what did we talk about then? What's the recap of last week, and why is it important as we walk through these next few things this morning? Last week, we focused on verses 1 and 2 that says this: "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." This entire section of Ephesians continues a theme that we started a few weeks ago entitled "The Ways That We Should Live." And in the end of Ephesians 4, we talked about relationally what that looks like. What does it look like for us to live in community with one another well? But now Paul shifts gears. Now we get into more of the personal actions. How should we live in light of the gospel's transforming nature in us? How do we seek to imitate God as his children paid for by the blood of Christ? Last week we talked about how we should imitate God in our purity. The purity of our bodies, our minds, our hearts, and ultimately our soul. We talked about how this cleanliness and this purity doesn't come from us just externally doing all these things and hoping we are clean, but rather it's the work of the Spirit in us that makes us clean. And we explored that quite a bit, what it looks like for us to live purely, what it looks like for us to act purely, and why that is so important to work to be clean. And the reality is that we ourselves cannot make ourselves clean. It's God who does that in us. and he doesn't expect perfection, but he expects us to work to strive towards holiness and towards righteousness. And he gives us the Spirit to help us with that. And we live lives that are fruitful and free when we live in that way. And so we talked about that last week. And so we're going to continue going through these different things and ways that we should imitate God. And we'll start this morning in verse 6. So if you have your Bible, go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6. We're going to read all the way to verse 21, although I do not expect us to get to the end today. But I do think it's important for us to read this whole text in its entirety. So if you have your Bible, go to Ephesians 5, verses 6 through 21. And it says this: "Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of these things they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, 'Awake, O sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.' Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms, in hymns, in spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always for everything to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ." And then after this, you get into the marriage passage, which I'm excited to walk through as well. But for the sake of time this morning, let's pray together. Let's talk about these first few verses we read together this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for who you are. And we thank you for your Son. God, I pray as we walk through this text, God, that we would savor your word. That your word would be a lamp to our feet, a light to our path, and it would transform our hearts. God, I pray that we would hide these words in our hearts. God, not that we would look to be legalistic, or God, that we believe that we could work for our salvation, but God, I pray that you'd use this text to do two things: to either reveal to us our need for you, or to show us the areas and we need to change. So God, I pray that you would continue to use this word to give us an honest assessment of our hearts and where we are with you. In your Son's holy name I pray, amen. So last week we talked about how we are going to look to our own magic mirror on the wall and ask, "Mirror, mirror on the wall, to whom does our heart belong?" And I believe that this text is going to do two things. One, it's going to reveal who does your heart belong to. Because it's out of the overflow from our heart, the mouth speaks. What we say, what we do, who we are on the outside is a reflection of who we are ultimately on the inside. And so we want to take an honest assessment. Do our actions, do our desires, do our words reflect that who says they love Jesus and want to serve him? Or do they reveal a heart that has never known him in the first place? And so we use these as an assessment to see where is our heart and who does our heart belong to. But on the other side of this coin, We also use it to ask ourselves as Christians, what are we doing to live in right relationship with God and to imitate God well in our regular living? And so let's start first with verses 6 through the first half of 7. Choose your community wisely. Choose your community wisely. Let's read this together. Verse 6. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. This is a really interesting verse. And it's really powerful, and it reminds me a whole lot of growing up as a kid. How many of you in this room had parents that were constantly on you for who you hung out with at school? I will raise my hand gladly to that. My parents constantly were concerned with who I was hanging out with and who I was doing things with. And growing up as a kid, I thought, that's silly. Because they would always say, if you hang out with this group of people, you are going to act in this way. And I remember my parents used to tell me that when I would spend a certain amount of time with this group of friends, I would begin to act like them. To which I, as a kid, would always say, no, that's not true. You're wrong. I'm my own person. They don't influence me. I can say what I want, do what I want. That doesn't matter what they do. But as I've gotten older, and as I now have children of my own, I really am seeing how true that actually is. My parents were right to be concerned with who I was spending time with, because the people that you live in community with that have an influence on you can, in fact, change you. And so what is Paul saying here? Paul is saying that you need to be careful with who you do community with. Now, there's a big difference between the people that you spend time around and the people that have influence over you. Let me give you an example. Some people will look at this text and will say, well, this gives me an excuse to never be around lost people, because I don't want to act like lost people, because then they may pull me from my relationship with God. So therefore, I'm going to be around no sinners whatsoever. Or I'm going to do my best to make sure that I am never around people that do not believe in the Lord. But here's the problem with that. Jesus spent the majority of his time around lost people, but he himself never changed. So why is that? How is that? Because there's a difference between the people that you spend time around and the people you allow to have influence over you. There's a difference. You have people you spend time with, but they may not be your community. But then you have people you spend time with that you call part of your personal community. It's the difference between being around coworkers for 40 hours a week and they don't have any influence over you versus you hanging out with a group of friends you only see once every other week, but they have great influence over you. So what's the difference? How does that work? The difference is that we allow certain groups of people to have influence on us versus not allowing others to have influence over us. And what Paul is telling us is not to be partners, not to be in community with people who are going to influence us towards sons of disobedience. Meaning that it's okay for you to be around lost people. In fact, I'm sure many of you that are working regular jobs are around lost people every day. But just because you are around people who don't act like you or don't believe the same as you doesn't mean you give them the influence to change who you are. But then there's this other group of people that we call our community, our close friends, family members, who have a large amount of influence over us. And Paul's saying we need to be wise with those relationships. Now, as children, what we would do is, because children are so trusting and vulnerable, they would often allow the influence of their peers to go much deeper than the influence of their parents. And I say that as a kid who grew up myself. My parents could tell me one thing and it would go in one ear and out the other, but my friends could say the exact same thing and I'd go, oh, that's so true. Right? Like it impacts you differently. And the reason why is because I let them have that kind of influence. Whereas my parents, as a rebellious child, I was not allowing them to have that influence. So children are a lot more susceptible to this. That's why as parents, when you have children, you need to be selective with who you allow to have influence over them. It is good and wise for you to be selective of those relationships. That doesn't mean that you should keep your children in a sheltered cage away from anyone who's not like them. Please don't do that. That's not how Jesus lived. That's not how your children should live either. But we should protect them from influence that would change them and steer them away from the Lord. And it may seem harsh, it may seem mean, and if you're a kid in here this morning, can I just tell you from the heart of a father that your parents do that not because they hate you, but because they love you. They love you a lot, and they don't want you to make the same mistakes they made as children. I think about my own life and the friends that I had, and I had a lot of really good friends. I was incredibly blessed with a really good community in Greenland. I was blessed with being able to grow up in an area where you could ride your bike down the street at 6, 7 years old and not have to worry about a thing. That was a huge blessing. It's fun now living on the same street that I used to drive my bike back and forth from as a kid to different friends' houses. If it wasn't for the influence of friends, I never would have been a part of First Baptist Greenland. But I can also tell you that there were groups that I would be around and spend my time with that had a different kind of influence on me. And I could look back at my life and see the things that I did wrong because of the kinds of people I allowed to have influence over me, not just in person, but even when I became a teenager and had presence over social media and online. See, kids nowadays have a whole different spectrum of influence. They don't just have influence from friends at school. Now they have influence over people on social media. And so we need to be wise with who we allow to have influence over us. And I'm not talking about just kids. Adults, I'm talking about you too. You need to be careful with who you allow to have influence over you and who you choose to do community with. And don't use this passage as an excuse to not be around lost people or people who aren't like you. There's a difference between spending time with people, showing kindness, hospitality, and love towards them, and then allowing them to have direct impact and influence on you. When I think about this, I think about Jesus a lot, how Jesus spent all of his time with sinners, but then the people that he considered the closest, the people who had what I would call the most influence on him, were three of his 12 disciples. Now, granted, he was Jesus, and so I don't think they, if the devil couldn't do it, they're definitely not going to do it to change who Jesus was and to make him sin. But we're not Jesus. We are sinful and fallible human beings, and we need to be wise with who we do community with. The next way we can seek to imitate God is to walk as children of light. Walk as children of light. Look at verses 8 through 10. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Do you know what one of the most challenging things about a list like this is in Scripture or Romans 12 or in, what's another good one? Colossians 3. Is that it doesn't cover everything. It doesn't cover everything that you're going to walk through. It doesn't cover every category. It doesn't cover every relationship. It doesn't cover every action and desire that is in your heart. So I find it helpful and loving that Paul gives us this reminder in the middle of this list. The reminder that we're not only to imitate God, but we are to walk as children of light. and children of light show who they are in the fruit of their actions. And the fruit of their actions are good and right and true, as Paul calls it. These are the kinds of actions that we should have, church. So how do we know what to do in circumstances that are not evidently clear in Scripture? What do we do in situations where we're not sure? Are we able to imitate God well in these circumstances, in these situations? What do we do? Because I can't find it in Scripture. What we do is we do our best to discern what is pleasing to God by understanding two things. One, understanding His Word. You may not find direct answers to everything in this text, but you will find the direction for everything in this text. You'll also find that in understanding God's virtue and His character. In understanding God's virtue and His character, the more we learn about God, the more we learn His character, the more we learn how He responded to things, the more we learn of His Word and draw closer to Him, the better we can discern what to do in circumstances and situations that aren't clearly laid out for us in His Word. And that we do our best to live within His will and to discern those things rightly. Now, I'll be honest, we don't always get those things right. And that's the unfortunate reality of being sinful, broken human beings. But when we stand on the principles found in Scripture, seek the Lord in prayer, and seek to walk as children of light in all circumstances, it can become easier to do the right thing and know what that thing is. And here's the beautiful part about this, and then we'll get ready to close. By God's grace, He didn't leave us to figure that out by ourselves. By God's grace, He didn't leave us alone to figure these things out for ourselves. He gave us the Holy Spirit for all who love Him and trust in Him as Savior. And so this morning, as we draw to a close, I told you at the very beginning that this text seeks to do two things. One, it helps to show you who your heart belongs to. And two, it helps to show you, if your heart belongs to the Lord, how you can live to imitate Him rightly. So my question for you this morning is the same as it was last week. Who does your heart belong to? If it doesn't belong to the Lord, my hope for you is that you would place your faith and trust in Him this morning, and that the Holy Spirit would influence you in all things. You know what's really cool about being a part of the local church? We have built-in godly community that I believe is chosen out wisely. My encouragement for you is to be a part of the local church in a deep and important and impactful way. But the second is this: if you are somebody who professes faith in Christ, you trust Him as your Savior, He is your only hope in life and death, that you're not your own, but you belong to Him, that's great. But if you're not living these things out well, my hope for you is that you would turn to Him, repent of those things, and seek to correct these things in your life. Now, I know we didn't go through a whole lot this morning, but these things are incredibly important. To seek and discern God's will, and to live in good, faithful community with others. Will you pray with me this morning as we have our time of invitation? Lord, I thank You so much for today. God, I pray that You would help us to know Your will, to live it out faithfully. And God, I pray for everyone in this room, Father, who doesn't know You, who's never put their faith and trust in You as Savior. God, I pray that they would do so, to know what it means to live for You, to know what it means to have their hope and faith in You. They can never remember a point in their life where they did that, or their life looks no different now than it did back then when they claimed to not be a Christian. God, I pray that You would help them to find their freedom and hope in You, that they would put their faith and trust in You this morning. And God, I pray for the Christian in this room who does know You and love You, but is struggling with the kind of influence they allow people to have over them, not just in person, but maybe especially over social media. God, I pray that they would choose their community wisely, choose people that they allow to have influence over their lives very carefully, And God, I pray they would seek you out and allow their greatest influence to be you. Your son's name we pray. Amen.